You are listening to. First Gen Teachers Lens.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to First Gen Teacher Lens. It's been a while since I actually posted up an episode. It's been a month. So many things have happened over the month, which I'll get into briefly for right now, but I'm going to make it into another episode. So what's happening is I am now a ELA / social studies teacher, so double dipping in those subjects due to like teachers leaving abruptly. Now double dipping in those areas, which I'll get into another kind of short sound off episode. But in this episode, I talked with Dr. Buck and his new book, Get Organized, which talks about teacher management in the digital age. We've been getting this episode set up for about a while right now, but make sure to stay tuned. It's critical this year, getting organized digitally. Stay tuned and don't forget to like and subscribe, and also leave a rating if you're listening on Apple Podcasts. Thanks so much and stay tuned. Peace.
This podcast is a proud member of the Teach Better Podcast Network. Better today, better tomorrow, and the podcast to get you there. You can find out more at teachbetter.com/podcasts. Now let's get back to the episode.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the First Gen Teacher Lens podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Calderon, or Mr. C. Today is a special episode. We got another upcoming guest, Dr. Buck. Dr. Buck is the author of Get Organized, Time Management for School Leaders. His newest book, Get Organized Digitally, The Educator's Guide to Time Management, will be released this coming December, particularly December 29th. And then he's been on Global Gurus Top 30, named him number one in time management category for past 3 years. Wow, kudos. Dr. Buck speaks throughout the United States and internationally about organization time management. If you want to find out more information, you can reach to him at frankbuck.org. Again, that's frankbuck.org. Now, here is Dr. Buck to introduce himself.
All right, Alex, thank you so much for having me on the show. You know, it seems like yesterday that I was a first-year teacher. So, you know, when I first learned about your podcast, you know, that being a first generation educator kind of took me back. I was a band director, thought I'd be a band director for 30 years. And as I think back to those early days, it was kind of building up to everything else that came after, including this podcast that we were our own right now. Mm-hmm. You know, I was a junior high band director, and you would be amazed at how many little tasks go into something as simple as putting on a junior high band concert. Mm-hmm. And so my first semester, you know, this is what I'm hit with. And what I realized, though, is once you figured out what all those little bitty things are, well, the next time you do a concert, you've already got it figured out. So mm-hmm. I learned early on that education is such a cyclic business. There's so many things that we're doing every year the same time, or every month the same time, or every week. And if we can trap all of those in one place and really get them hammered out, they're all fairly easy to do. The hard part's not doing them. The hard part is remembering all the things you have to do. So early on, I learned the magic of having a repeating task system. Now back then, you know, the first computer hadn't even come into the school. Everything was pencil and paper. Mm-hmm. But what I did have was a system, where as soon as something hit my brain that I needed to do, it went in a system. It went in a memo pad that I had in my pocket. And then I earned a very important right, the right to forget about it. As soon as I wrote it down, I earned the right to forget about it. And now you fast forward several decades and the tools have changed. You know, now it's a fancy $1,000 phone and things are bouncing off satellites. You know, it's like I talk to the phone and things are going on a digital list that I can see from everywhere. But some of those basic principles are the same. As soon as that to-do hits my radar, it goes in the system. And now I don't have to rewrite a to-do list anymore. It just keeps up with it for me. And all of the repeating to-dos are kept up with it for me. And being organized, it has made life so much easier. Mm-hmm. So 12 years as a band director, and then I went into school administration, something I never thought I would have an interest in. But I was 4 years as an assistant principal at a middle school and then 9 years as an elementary principal. And it was during those years that being able to not only be organized and help me function better, but to teach other people around me how to do the same kind of thing so that life works so much easier for them. And then I retired at age 50. To give another career a chance to grow some legs, to do this full time, to make my job making life easier for other people. So I hope that some of the things we're able to talk about in this interview are going to help the people out there make life easier.
No, I completely agree with Dr. Buck. Like, for example, you know, with the elephant in the room, COVID has changed everything. I want to say it's put education, and it's been a hot button topic for the past, you know, 2 years, because it really has changed the dynamics of schooling. I remember for myself, and if you've heard episodes, if you're new, I was in school my school was remote for a year and a half. So everything was digital. And for certain colleagues, I remember the switch from paper to digital was haphazardous, not much so it was like it was just confusing learning the platforms and then just putting everything on these platforms, then kind of feeding it into like Google Classroom and just maintaining a sense of normalcy where, oh, we're gonna do this today, Tuesday's this, and then have a methodical schedule. And really for some educators, just too much, and like, you know. But it really put on spotlight now that digital is taking over a lot of things, even a lot of platforms. Like, for example, I haven't heard of this platform before, COVID, ClassKick, is really on the come up. Like, I use it habitually now, where every day I'm like saying, oh, to my students, everybody needs to go on ClassKick, log into ClassKick. Mm-hmm. And it's been, like you said, it has to be on a cycle basis where you have to have some sort of regimen to keep your own sanity. And I like what you said about, you know, the ability of being able to forget like, you know, your item or your to-do list after you put it on, because I always make my own to-do list on my Google Docs. I'll have it like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, whatever task that I need to do, from like, you know, highlighted to urgent, bolded, urgent, et cetera, but it definitely helps. So I think this podcast episode in particular will help a lot of educators. So I have a list of 4 questions. I know your book is coming out in December. We're just going to talk about it in terms of the context about getting organized digitally. And hopefully the guests gain something out of this, and then, you know, get your book, because it definitely helps manifold when you have everything organized, especially with your time management, especially now, because so many educators are feeling the stressors of the field itself. So let's get started. For my first question, I guess it goes back into that old adage of paper, now digital. For those people who use a paper planner and is thinking about going digitally, where would you have them start?
First thing I would do would be have them get a digital calendar, and, you know, Google Calendar. And when people say, well, how do you get a Google Calendar? I say, do you have a Google account? Well, sure. Doesn't everybody have a Google account? Okay. If you have a Google account, you have Google Calendar, whether you're actually using it or not. And it makes life so much easier. Thinking just in the last couple of weeks ago, a brilliant educator, I'd been trying to schedule a Zoom session with her, and it came time for the Zoom session, and I was in the room, but she wasn't. So 5 minutes later, I pick up the phone to call, and I catch her right there in her office, and she said, "Oh, I'm so sorry. I forgot." Now, she had it on the calendar, on the paper calendar, on the wall behind her head. And as far as the link, well, it was buried in an email about seven layers down, so I just sent her the link again. And I think, a brilliant person, once we finally got together on that Zoom call, it was probably the most enjoyable hour I had spent with anybody. I expected to talk to her for 15 minutes, but because of the questions she asked and wanted to go deeper into the content, we just talked forever. But the technology, this brilliant person, the technology was holding her back. And as hard as it was to get her on that Zoom call, I can just imagine her tripping over technology all day, every day. Whereas you and I, same situation. Yeah, we know how it works. You send somebody the link to your calendar. They click, pick a time that's convenient for them. It goes on both people's calendar. Alex, 15 minutes before this interview, even if I had forgotten, chimes went off everywhere reminding me, hey, in 15 minutes, you have this appointment. And then 5 minutes before the appointment, chimes went off again. Well, where do you find the link? Well, it's right there in my Google Calendar as just part of the event. It's so easy when it's all digital. Mm-hmm. It's so easy. I think back to when I was a kid and, you know, you go fishing and you're standing on the bank, and that works. You can stand on the bank and catch fish just like a paper system works. Now, you can probably catch better fish if you're out in the boat because you can go to just the right place and everything. So standing on the shore works. Being in the boat works. But you know what doesn't work very well? 1 foot on the shore, 1 foot in the boat. Because as that boat starts to move little by little, it gets harder and harder till it becomes impossible. So for that person who's trying to stay pencil and paper in a world that's going more and more digital, that's where it's really hard. In 2001, I ripped off the Band-Aid. I was the biggest paper planner person you would ever find. My day timer and I were inseparable. But then I started getting a heavy email volume and realized at some point this is not going to continue to work the way it needs to. So in 2001, I said, we're going to go digital calendar, digital task list, digital contacts, digital notes, email, and just shifted from paper to digital. And it was, you know, it was the best use of my time. Life has become so much easier. So a lot of this book is a gift to people to show them this is how it can all work together.
That's great. I just want to jump in for a sec. You said something interesting in terms of, like, you know, I ripped off the Band-Aid. How do you get teachers who are still attached to the Band-Aid, if you will, to kind of conform to that switch? Because I've worked with teachers, and, you know, out here in New York City that are still in this, I want to say, 2000s, late 90s mentality, where they're still pencil and paper in terms of, like, you know, not using certain platforms. How do we shift the mindset to, like, make these teachers more adaptable to these new platforms? I'm just curious about that because you made an interesting comment that you willfully did that. Is that something that we have to intrinsically look at ourselves, or do we need more so one-on-one help with these platforms?
A lot of it is the one-on-one help, and a lot of it is modeling. A lot of it is letting other people see you and how you make it look so easy. And they say, can you show me how to do that? And that's where you've got your in. You know, people continue to do the things that they have been doing, even though sometimes they're not working near as well. And, you know, there's the old adage about, you know, if I had 8 hours to chop trees, I'd spend 6 of those hours sharpening the axe. And so many people are so busy chopping trees with a dull axe, they feel like they don't have time to sharpen that axe. And if we could get them to back up just a little bit, put a little bit of margin in there to learn these digital tools, that would save them all the time in the world. Like the brilliant educator that I talked about just a couple of minutes ago with the paper calendar and no place to put in. Yeah, and we know how many Zoom meetings that teachers and administrators have these days. Yeah. And where in the world, I bet every Zoom meeting she was in, she was winding up hunting through 7 layers of email to try and find the link. And life can be so much easier when you just adopt a digital system that works together. And, yep, you know, well, how do you put that system together? I put it together for myself. And then I wrote a book so that other people don't have to do the same. It's laid out there for you.
Mm-hmm. That's great. And then, you know, you talk about systems, and then for notes, we know important, like meetings notes, but IEPs, talking about 504 plans, and, you know, maybe possibly other meetings, other intrinsic things, tangibles that are on a daily school basis. How can digital organization make those notes, whether it be, you know, those meetings I spoke of before, more valuable?
Mm-hmm. I was always a big proponent of having a journal. And of course, I've been retired now for a number of years, been, I guess, a dozen years since I was in the arena every day. And so back at that time, I was still with a paper journal, which probably, if I was in the arena now and I was in an IEP meeting, 504 meeting, I would be taking those notes, pencil and paper, because, you know, it's just still not socially acceptable to be sitting there with your laptop while that parent's sitting across the table for, you know, they think you're checking your email or something. So I take those notes, pencil and paper, but then before the sun sets, get those digitized so that you can search for information easily. And the notes from this meeting with Mrs. Jones can go right there with the meeting, the notes from the last meeting with Mrs. Jones, instead of them being spread throughout various pages of a paper journal. So when you can look back and see, here's what we talked about last time and what we talked about the time before, it just, I think your credibility goes up a great deal that this parent sees that, wow, you know, even though that this administrator works with so many parents, it's like they were hanging on every word that I said. So, and we talk about how we live in an information age. And what I want to propose is that your information is only as good as your ability to put your hands on it when you need it. And having it digitally makes it so much easier. And easy is one of my favorite words.
Right, right. You mentioned, I think, colloquially at my school, we talk about creating a digital track record, right? And, you know, even with things like Class Dojo or Google Classroom, right? These messages, right? Intrinsic messages about like what homework is due or what to post, right? It creates a credibility because there, I've been in countless, I want to say, tit for tats with students and parents themselves where, hey, like you forgot to grade. This just happened. It made me think about 2 weeks ago. A student said, hey, you forgot to grade this assignment. I was like, no, I graded it. It didn't like the grade. But I had a digital track record that I was like, I was going to grade at X date X time, this is the deadline. So when that parent kind of went, was trying to go back and forth with me, I already had what I call a receipt. Hey, this was posted there, and it does work. Your credibility does go up where it's like, oh, I have these tangible records of your child. I can easily scope through what is this child to need. Do they have time and a half? Do they have double time? And it becomes instantaneous, like you were saying. So that is definitely important. You mentioned, I'm not sure, in the book, that your day involves only doing two things, which is, some people might say, is like ludicrous to say. But what exactly are those two things?
The two things are, first of all, to check the tickler file. Now, I'm a digital person, but this is a paper system that I learned when I was like 8 years old from my dad. And all it is a set of 31 folders. I use hanging file folders, just numbered 1 through 31, each one representing a day of the month. And then behind those, 12 more folders, January, February, March. So when paper comes your way that you need sometime in the future, you just ask the question, when do I want to see this again? Mm-hmm. Drop it in the folder for the appropriate day, and you are in the right to forget about it. And then each morning, you just grab the folder for that day, and there's all the paperwork that at some point in the past, you wanted to come back to you today. The tickets to the concert that's tonight that you bought 2 months ago are in that folder. The birthday card for somebody's birthday that's 3 days from now, and you bought the card, you know, over the Christmas holidays, because that's how I do all my birthday cards. I address them all at the same time. It's in that folder because it needs to go in the mail today. The report that you need to take to the meeting, and it's a typed out report, it's a printed report. There it is. All the paper is right there. So when I pull that folder, there's all the paper type things that I'm going to need to deal with that day. And then the second thing I do is I look at my digital task list. I use Remember the Milk, which even the free version is extremely powerful. RememberTheMilk.com. So it's a website, and you can also download the free app. They all, you know, they sync back and forth, so you have your task no matter where you are. And so when I put a task on there, I do the same thing. When do I want to see this task again? Give it that due date. And so all I have to do is look at my computer, Remember the Milk on my computer, or Remember the Milk on my phone. And it's like, here are all the tasks that I wanted to see today. And they're grouped by, at the very top, what I call my Fab Five. If I don't get anything else done today, these are the five things that I need to push forward, followed by things I just want to see in the morning, afternoon, evening. And so I'm not getting up in the morning going, oh gosh, what am I going to do today? Let me make a list of the things I want to do today. That list has already been made, and it's already, and that started decades ago. First is a pencil and paper system, and then starting is, of course, 2001, all digital. That list is already made for me, and I just work the list, and it's easy, and nothing falls through the cracks.
No, it makes everything, I want to say, I always say this word, succinct, right? So for my students, even, like, because one day, I think they weren't just doing the homework, like every single class. I was like, this is not, but again, we're thinking about, you know, the environment that we're in right now, everything's chaotic. And I told my students, you know, this is what I do to keep myself sane. I go on a Google Doc, I make a table, and I make a list. And I know every week, just like we know, every Friday there's a quiz. So I have to make a quiz based on whatever we learn. So already my number five, because I do it based on the days of the week, my number five is already done. I know I have to make a quiz because that's already an instantaneous thing. And then now it becomes succinct where it's just like, kids know, all right, Fridays, test day, take a quiz, that's it. And then it becomes a daily regimen where the kids, even for yourself, if I always tell teachers, if whether they're new or, you know, maybe going into a new school, that having a regimen makes it so much easier for not only for yourself, but for the kids, because a lot of middle schoolers are going through hormonal issues, and like, especially now, social emotional issues. But it definitely helps keep them calm and have their own sanity. But I think this also connects larger to scope of like not only the educational experience, but just day-to-day life, particularly parents, because parents are busy. Some parents have hectic jobs. Some parents I know are teachers that are always on the go, worrying about like, oh, what do I have a meeting for my child? It adds another level of a little bit of chaos, but also complexity, where you're dealing with your own stuff, but also you're dealing with your child's stuff. So what tips do you have as far as using digital organization to make life for parents or just for yourself easier?
Yeah, Alex, I'm glad that you mentioned that. One of my favorite stories in the book, Who's Driving the Bailey Bus? And it talks about a family, the Baileys, and mom and dad are both educators, and they have several children who are involved in different activities, and they got doctor's appointments, and how do you keep it all together? Well, that story is in the chapter on using a digital calendar. And so I just, you know, walk everyone through the problem that they're facing. And then, with the digital calendar, dad's got his Google Calendar. Mom's got her Google Calendar. They share those with each other. Therefore, mom and dad both see what the other one has. The oldest child has a phone, has a Google account. Well, he has a Google Calendar. So rather than a quiz every night at the dinner table about what test you have coming up, when soccer practice, all these little questions about where do you have to, the child just puts it on his own Google Calendar that's shared with his parents. Now they see that without this interrogation. And for the child that's too small to be keeping up with their own, mom or dad creates a calendar within their calendar for him with its own little color, shares it with the other parent. And what I propose is let's say that particular child, he's only 6 years old. He's dependent on someone else to take him to any appointment, et cetera, et cetera. And maybe his color is yellow. Okay. So, dental appointment 6 months from now, put it on the calendar. It's on that child's calendar. It's yellow. All right. It's now 2 weeks from that, and you look and you see that in yellow. All right, who's going to take him and pick him up? Is it going to be mom? Is it going to be dad? As long as that calendar is still showing in yellow, that decision hasn't been made. So dad says, all right, I'm going to handle that. Well, we just go in, we click that event, we change it from the child's calendar to dad's calendar. So now everybody knows who's responsible for what, and it's easy. It's easy. And as I tell people, how do you know if you're doing technology right? If it's easy.
Right.
If it's hard, if it's hard, you're just not doing something right. So go ask somebody, you know, what am I doing? How can I do this better? Because when it works, it is so easy.
And you're right. I think that's what the nitty gritty is of this. Technology nowadays makes so many things instantaneous and easy. You know, my mother always said that technology is a double-edged sword, but however, you know, with organization, especially for teachers in right now, I found it so easy, methodical, using Google Calendar, making my own calendar on Google Docs, plugging in everything, color coding everything, and it just makes it so much easier where you're not, I have to write this down, have to go look for this in this page, et cetera, et cetera. But I really do hope that people who are listening to this do get the fact, and then the theme of the episode is technology is more so here in this aspect, here to help you, not hinder you. And it does never be afraid also to ask. My biggest fear when I was student teaching is like, is I'm going to look silly if I ask. That's never the case. If you don't know anything, I want to say 10 times out of 10, more often than not, somebody knows this platform really well that is going to help you in the long run and make your classroom and make your organization easier. Same thing happened to me for ClassKick. I asked a colleague who is more adaptable in ClassKick, here's how you use it, here's how you cut and paste. And then after a couple of tries, I want to say like maybe within a half hour, I was ready to go. I was ready to use it and adapt it to my classroom. Yeah. So on
no need to reinvent the wheel. Somebody else has tripped across that same problem. Somebody else has solved that problem. Would be overjoyed to help you. And we've got so many Facebook groups for teachers, for principals, for whoever it might be, and just so many resources out there where people will be glad to help you. One of the best presenters I've ever heard, a guy by the name of Patrick Crispin. He was actually the guy that first introduced me and others in a presentation to a little tool that probably everybody's heard about called Google. So this was quite a few years ago. But he said, you know, we all have holes in our knowledge base. And when it comes to technology, even people that we look upon as being pretty tech savvy have holes in their knowledge base that tends to be at a very low level. So we never have to apologize for kind of getting down there in the beginning stages and starting from square one and helping people fill in those holes. And I think he was absolutely right.
Absolutely. I think he hit the nail on its head. And I'm just going to wrap up this episode. On behalf of the First Gen Teach Lens podcast and the Teach Better team, thank you so much, Dr. Buck, for being on the First Gen Teacher Lens podcast. And check out his book, comes out December 29th. And you can reach him through his website, again, frankbuck.org. Again, frankbuck.org. Thank you for being a guest on the First Gen Teacher Lens podcast, and hope to hear from you soon.
Thanks again. It has been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you for having listened to the First Gen Teacher's Lens. We'll see you here next time.